to Walt Disney World, and a hugely successful studio tour in Universal City, something Disney itself had never been able to duplicate, and he hated the idea that Ovitz might end up as a competitor. In May, he and Ovitz had lunch at Eisner's house. "Why would you want to go to Universal when you could come to Disney as my partner?" Eisner asked. His pitch was a skillful blend of the attributes and greater opportunities represented by Disney and a disparagement of Universal, especially its new owners, the Bronfmans. At Disney, Ovitz would be working with his best friend and trusted confidant. At Universal, Eisner argued, he'd be at the beck and call of ruthless, mercurial family members. "A board gives you much more freedom," he said, and went on at length about how close he was to board members and how they consistently endorsed his recommendations. Ovitz listened, but he wasn't swayed. With Bronfman, he was negotiating a deal that would give him a package valued at about $250 million and plenty of autonomy. Eisner had still not defined what he meant by partner. Eisner left the lunch feeling that Ovitz probably would go to Universal, a view confirmed a few weeks later when Ovitz made the cover of Newsweek as the likely new chairman of Universal. But the Ovitz deal had collapsed the night before Newsweek hit the stands, when Ovitz concluded that Bronfman had reneged at the last minute on key promises, including ones related to autonomy, and Bronfman concluded Ovitz was overreaching. Suddenly, Eisner's warnings about the Bronfmans all came back to him. Eisner had been far more effective at planting doubts in his mind about the Bronfmans than he realized. Ovitz's embarrassing setback obviously made him available once again. Eisner sent him a handwritten note composed during one of his many plane trips, speaking warmly of him and suggesting what great partners they could be. In this note, Eisner revealed that the thank you note Ovitz had written after their first trip to Disney World had so moved him that he'd carried a copy of the letter with him ever since. Eisner had Irwin Russell get in touch with Ovitz and resume their negotiations. Russell, however, had doubts about Ovitz for the job. His notes of one of their conversations read, "Explained doubts were not related to him personally, but whether he could adapt to corporate culture, based on initial discussions. Operationally, financially, disaster if 6 months is found out a mistake." Eisner brushed such concerns aside. The arrival of Bohlenbach, an innovative and aggressive dealmaker, had brought a significant shift to the tone and urgency of strategic planning meetings at Disney. In contrast to the cautious, even pessimistic Larry Murphy and Nanula, Bohlenbach was a product of the 1990s deal bonanza on Wall Street. He pushed for Disney to make a major acquisition, reasoning that it takes the same management energy to digest a big acquisition as a small one. With interest rates low and Disney's cash flow from its recent hits surging, he argued for using as much leverage as possible to boost returns. "We can borrow cheaply and easily, and we ought to take advantage of that," he argued to Eisner. While Eisner was still keen on the idea of the two remaining networks, ABC and CBS, Bohlenbach was willing to consider even bigger prey, specifically Time Warner, the huge amalgam of Time Incorporated and Warner Communications. Soon after Bohlenbach's arrival, Eisner had dinner with Cap City's ABC chairman Tom Murphy at Gabriel's, an Italian restaurant near ABC